Welcome to the Full of Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:12 British summer time. Today is May 17th. Today was a weekday on stock markets. But there's also a high degree of variability in what we're seeing in some of the returns, in particularly on Wall Street. More on that in a moment. The Nikkei was a little bit stronger in here today. That's quite likely to be reversed tomorrow, because the yen was quite a bit stronger, particularly against the US dollar in here today. The Chinese market was also steadier. Of course, the A shares are not internationally tradable, so they're not especially influenced by what happens elsewhere, but they have been a bit steadier over the last couple of days. The Hang Seng was down a bit by about a third of 1%. The ASX, following a very weak day yesterday, was down a tad in here today. The majority of Europe was down in excess of 1%. The Dow Jones was down about 1.25%. The NASDAQ down a bit more than 2%. Brazil down over 3%. Mexico down about 0.75%. Canadian market was relatively unchanged. Gold bounced in here today. It was up $33. It found at least a short-term low yesterday in the region of the December and September lows above the 1500 mark, and it has bounced emphatically. There are a very large number of gold shares which have declined precipitously over the last 3 and 4 weeks. There are deeply oversold readings evident on a large number of those shares, and they are due a bounce, and some of them have begun to bounce in here today. Oil was a bit weaker in here today. It was down 30 cents. It's at 92.50 on West Texas Intermediate. U.S. Treasuries were stronger today by 1 2/3 points. On a yield basis, the yield has now fallen right back to test the September nadir. The government bond sector generally was quite firm in here today. The US dollar was a bit stronger against the majority of currencies, but the yen was stronger than the US dollar. Now, when we take a look at what's been happening out there, we remain within this corrective phase. Oil prices had been too high for too long. They were acting as a headwind to growth. We are now starting to also see that some of the worst performing sectors are those that are leveraged to industrial growth globally. The worst performer on the Dow Jones today was Caterpillar. The best performer was Walmart. Walmart's earnings blew away analysts' expectations. Walmart's growth comes from its international business. Its US business is pretty flat. So Walmart is a share that is leveraged to the growth of the global consumer. It's been going sideways for the better part of a decade and is now turning to relative outperformance. And that is a trend that is common to the autonomy sector, particularly those parts of the economy of the autonomies that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer. Now, another share that is interesting is McDonald's, because it was also quite weak in here today. It's pulled back below its 200-day moving average. That's for the first time it's done that in almost 3 years. So that's a trend in consistency. It does suggest that even though the sectors that are holding out best, that they are not immune from some contagion. What we have seen on the S&P is that it is now pulling back rather sharply. It had held out just about better than anything else, and was down by about 1.5% today. It's fallen now every day this week. It's in the region of the 200-day moving average. If it's going to find support, if the medium-term uptrend is going to remain consistent, this is where it's going to have to rally from. At present, while we are now starting to see increasingly oversold conditions evident on a number of stock markets. There is absolutely no evidence that this corrective phase has ended. The market is becoming increasingly worried about the prospect of a Greek exit from the euro. And the when Mario Draghi starts to talk about not lending Greek banks any more money and talking in public about the potential for a Greek exit, that's not good for confidence. Spanish 10-year government bond yields were higher again in here today. That spread has widened out even further. It's well, the spread over German bunds is now considerably above where it traded prior to the convergence that occurred before the euro was launched. So it's at least new 15 to 20 year highs. And Spain is a considerably larger country than Greece. So this European crisis is not going away. It is having a particular impact on industrially related shares. Siemens is another example of a company that has been underperforming quite considerably. And this is practically a rerun of what we saw in July of last year. Until July of last year, we saw that there was really quite a lot of commonality among shares that were leveraged to global growth. And from July, we got this divergence. And it was the consumer-led shares that remained consistent and continued to trend higher, and the industrial shares really started to underperform. And that is exactly what we're seeing in here again. They say that in a bear market, they take them out one by one and shoot them. And what we have been seeing is that the weaker shares, the weaker sectors, have been hit rather hard. And what we're starting to see is that even the better performers are starting to lose their uptrend consistency in this environment. We do have short-term overbought conditions in government bonds, and we have short-term oversold conditions in stock markets. Government bond yields are now testing their lows. This is also a potential area of support. So it's not at all beyond the bonds a possibility that we get a short covering rally in the reasonably close future in some of these stock markets, and a pullback in those government bond prices and a rally in the yields, just because we have been deteriorating now for consecutive days. And as we approach the weekend, there may be the temptation to square off some books. So in this kind of environment, it doesn't pay to become increasingly bearish. But at the same time, there's absolutely no evidence that this corrective phase has ended. I think that an increasing number of people will be looking at the advance that we've had since 2009, and particularly if you look at the S&P over the last 10 years. The advance from 2003 all the way through to 2007 was really quite consistent. What we've had since 2009 is a relatively similar advance. The index has gone up almost exactly the same amount, but it's been considerably more volatile, it's considerably less consistent, and what we've had are these spectacular trending phases, which have given way to larger pullbacks, considerably more volatility. They've been met by central banks with an outpouring of liquidity, lowering interest rates, increasing liquidity, and boosting quantitative easing programs. And then the stock market has taken off again and moved into a very persistent advance. We had the best start of the year in at least 12 years between January and March. It was a remarkably persistent advance. The stock market encountered resistance in the end of March, the beginning of April of 2010, 2011, and again in 2012. The fact that we are in this corrective phase and that the US dollar has been holding on to more of its advances following pullbacks suggests that those that were looking for a dollar collapse are going to be proved incorrect. The focus of investor anxiety right now is focused on Europe, and European indices continue to lead to the downside, particularly those as well in Eastern Europe. They're suffering just as much from the contraction of liquidity that's happening in Europe as anything that's inside the Eurozone. That's also where the US dollar shows some of the most consistent uptrends, is against some of those Eastern European currencies. What we are now starting to see is that classic safe havens are beginning to attract interest. The yen was quite a bit stronger in here today. The dollar has been strong against a host of currencies. Gold has been the notable exception, but it is bouncing in here. And provided it holds above yesterday's lows, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to an additional short covering rally at a very minimum. Oil prices continue to decline. That's good news. We're getting a reset in terms of the price pressures that commodity prices put on the global economy. At present, there is no way to know how far this reaction is going to go, but since there is no evidence that it is over, I'm going to be holding on to my S&P short. I do think that there is some short-term risk that we're going to see a bit of a bounce in here, but that could also be viewed as an opportunity to increase a short position in the absence of a very, very clear upward dynamic. And I think it would require upward dynamics to be held for more than a couple of days and higher reaction lows to be put in to really confirm that we're getting back into an environment where demand is returning to dominance. And of course, an outside influence such as a move by a central bank to boost capital, particularly to the banking sector, or concerted efforts by a number of central banks would, as we have seen on previous occasions over the last 3 years, would act as a positive catalyst on the market and would be a buying opportunity in given the balance of probabilities. When we look at the outperformers, the autonomies continue to remain some of the steadier uptrends. Each needs to be measured on its own individual merits. Those that are pulling back a bit more, they are also likely to be among some of the autonomies are likely to be the shares that find support first. They're likely to post higher reaction lows first, and they're likely to break out of any base that forms early. So it's a sector that is worth monitoring, and larger pullbacks are generally favorable entry points from the context of secular bull markets and medium-term uptrends that are most likely to be reasserted. So certainly the autonomy sector is worth monitoring. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I wish all the best to all of you.